I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, Governor Bob Ferguson has only been on the job for a few months, but his staff is already turning on him. Not a good sign, Bobby. Plus, state progressives are resorting to the lazy orange man bad strategy to try to win their August primary races. And remember that city council member who was arrested for staging yet another nude protest? Well, now he's running for mayor. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support this little show of ours for just $5 a month. Go to UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. And while you're there, get yourself some Undivided merch. Hello, friends, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Another bad day for Governor Bob Ferguson, which is, of course, a great day for us. He's had a lot of bad days lately. This one is fascinating to me, though. The last bad day he had was when he found out that his approval rating for his first 6 months on the job is lower than the initial approval rating for any governor in Washington State in the last 30 years, including Jay Inslee, which he can't be too happy about. This one, though, has got to feel personal for him. He's got to feel it right here in the heart, or he's pulling knives out of his back today. But I think it's very telling. So I have to give you some background here, because we actually didn't cover this initial controversy too much on the show. While he was running for governor, there was a lot of rumors going around, and we had been pitched this story a couple times. It was just something we weren't quite able to pin down, that his right-hand man, a guy named Mike Webb, was a jerk and terrible to women. He created a hostile work environment, and Mike had been Bob's right-hand man for a long time. He was his chief of staff when Bob was the attorney general for 12 years, and then he was his chief strategy officer as he became governor. But then, early this year, right when Bob Ferguson took the job, all these stories started to leak finally out about Mike Webb and how he was toxic, especially toward women. And at the time, I covered it briefly, and I basically said that, you know, Bob was angering progressives, and the stories that the Seattle Times put out were quoting progressives, like being disappointed in Bob Ferguson. And it was at the time when he first rejected their like $20 billion tax hike proposal from progressives in the state legislature. And so I looked at it and I said, you know, I'm sure this Mike Webb guy is a jerk. I've been hearing these rumors for years, but I thought that the leak and the story timing was very interesting, because it's clear that progressives really don't like Bob Ferguson in the state legislature, which I find interesting. But there's a new wrinkle to this today. So the Seattle Times is out with a story. The headline, WA Governor Admits Stupid Decision to Invite Former Top Aide on a State Plane. That former top aide, of course, is Mike Webb. And apparently recently, Governor Bob Ferguson, despite the fact Mike Webb resigned, by the way, he resigned over all of this, so he's not with the governor's office anymore, but the governor's office decided to invite him on a trip to Eastern Washington on the Washington State Patrol plane that flies the governor around. It says, Governor Bob Ferguson apologized to his staff last week for inviting former top aide Mike Webb on a state plane for a trip to the Tri-Cities that included official business and a political fundraiser. In an unusual and at times tense Zoom meeting on Thursday, Ferguson cited the decision to bring Webb along for the June trip as pretty stupid. He called the decision to bring Webb along for the June trip as pretty stupid, according to audio obtained by the Seattle Times. In the Zoom session, surreptitiously recorded and provided to the Times, some staff members expressed concerns to Ferguson and his chief of staff about Webb's continued close association with the governor. State law requires consent from all parties if a call is being recorded. The Times granted anonymity to the source of the audio to protect them from retaliation. One staffer said during the call that Webb's presence on the plane put employees in a difficult position, making it seem like Webb, who now works for a private law firm, continues to have the governor's stamp of approval. Okay, so, you know, journalistically, there's a couple angles to this story. Like, why is Bob Ferguson using his state plane, which is our state plane, paid for with our money, to ferry around a dude who resigned from his office in shame? That's crazy. That's bad governance. And it is stupid, as Bob Ferguson acknowledged to his staff. But what I find much more fascinating about this is that he is 7 months on the job, and his own inner circle, his own staff, already hates him enough to secretly record his meetings and send those meetings to the Seattle Times. You guys, that's crazy. And that tells you a lot about Bob Ferguson. And he has been, it's fascinating to me that he's risen to the levels that he has. You know, he's very politically savvy and Bob looks out for Bob. But as a result of that, you know, always putting his political career first, he's made a lot of enemies amongst Democrats. And they just sort of suck it up and vote for him, you know, or else they'll face his wrath and his repercussions. And he's angered progressives because he wouldn't say yes to every single one of the tax increases they wanted, just $9.5 billion worth of them. But he's such an unlikable guy and an unlikable leader that 7 months into the job, his own staff records him risking criminal prosecution. Again, it is against the law, as the Seattle Times points out, to record in Washington State, which is a two-party state, a conversation that is private without all parties consenting to that recording. So his own staff hates him enough to record illegally things that he says 7 months in and send it to the Seattle Times? That's wild. So imagine all the leaks that'll come in the next 3.5 years. It just proves that he's an unlikable guy. But I think this is more than this because it sounds like there's at least one person on his staff who they knew there was going to be this Zoom meeting. They were going to bring this up and, you know, say, this is bad. This is a bad look. It looks like this guy is still has the ear of the governor's office, even though he resigned in shame. So they set him up. They set him up to say things about Mike Webb and to have to issue this sort of apology so they could send it to the Seattle Times. I mean, they're not just recording every Zoom meeting surreptitiously. They knew this topic was going to come up. They wanted to catch him in a bad place and put him in a bad spotlight and hand it off to the Seattle Times. You guys, this is glorious. The fracturing has already begun at the highest levels of state government between progressives and Bob Ferguson. And I'm here for it because if they fracture, if they're all, and I'm going to have more on the fracture in a moment, but if they can't get along and their caucuses are a mess and all of this, it makes it less likely that they're going to be able to pass some of the things that they want to pass. You know, they have this massive majority. They could push through anything they want, but not if there's fracturing within the party. So Bob Ferguson, poor guy, low approval ratings, lower than Jay Inslee, which is really enough to make, if I were governor and I had lower approval ratings than Jay Inslee, I'd just quit. And then this story where now he doesn't know who to trust in his inner circle. Can't even hold a meeting without worrying that it's going to be surreptitiously recorded. Poor guy. You almost feel bad for him. All right. As you know, this Tuesday is the August primary election. Oh, my gosh. The 5th. So if you haven't got your ballots in, please get them in already. And I generally tell you guys, and I say this all the time, whether it's campaign mailers sent out by a Republican or a Democrat, they're usually so dishonest. And they're filled with lies and gaslighting. And I always tell you, do you just take those mailers and you throw them right in the trash and you do your own research on some of these candidates rather than believing what you hear in mailers? And this latest round of mailers is particularly true. You know, there are a couple races we're watching very closely because they could help bring Olympia a little closer back to sanity. But they're interesting because they're D-on-D races. And we have a lot of Republicans who watch this show. And I've encouraged you not to sit out D-on-D races, to make sure that you're helping the more reasonable Democrat try to win. So down in the 33rd legislative district, which is like the Burien area, you already know who I favor in that race. He's a Democrat named Kevin Schilling. He's the mayor of Burien. And I like Kevin. He's been on the show. I don't agree with him on everything, of course. He's a Democrat, but he's very pro public safety. He has been going to great lengths, even getting in legal battles with King County so he can try to clear the rampant tent encampments and drug dealing and using off his streets. But because of that, because he doesn't want the streets of downtown Burien flooded with tents right in front of businesses, because he doesn't want people using drugs out in broad daylight and committing crimes to fund his drug habit, because of that, the progressives don't like him. Oh, they do not like him one bit. He's running against a progressive named Edwin Obross. We'll get to more on him in a moment. But this is the latest mailer. How predictable is this? This is the latest mailer they sent out about poor Kevin Schilling. MAGA loves Kevin Schilling. I mean, come on. It even has this like little fake crowd, and it's clearly a stock image, but you can see people wearing red hats. that he's standing in front of. Oh, I got to read this to you. It says, quote, has quotes around it. Democrat lobbyist Kevin Schilling's campaign for the state legislature is funded by one of the biggest Republican Trump donors in the state. Steve Gordon gave $50,000 to Donald Trump's inauguration and said in a recent interview that he gives Trump an unabashed A for everything other than the tariffs. And we know Steve Gordon. He's a nice guy. I think he was a Ron DeSantis guy, but then he ended up being, you know, supporting Trump when Ron DeSantis didn't make it through. And apparently he's also helped financially with Kevin Schilling's campaign. Like Kevin Schilling, you know how many people donate to campaigns? And so now they want to believe that you are responsible for the political views of any person who donates to your campaign. But this one is hilarious. It says Schilling, a shill for GOP values. Why is he pushing Steve Gordon, Kevin Schilling? Maybe it's because Kevin Schilling waited in a long line to attend a Trump rally, calling it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Or maybe it's because he stood up for landlords over renters in opposing common-sense legislation to reduce the size of rent increases. Under Mayor Schilling, Burien even sued to stop a minimum wage initiative. So first, let me just touch on that first sentence. Why is he pushing this Trump donor, Kevin Schilling? Maybe it's because Kevin Schilling waited in a long line to attend a Trump rally, calling it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You might be like, okay, well, did he wait in a long line to attend a Trump rally? And why would he do that if he's not MAGA? You guys, this is nuts. So back when Donald Trump was running for office the first time, so like 10 years ago, Kevin Schilling was in college. And at the time, Donald Trump visited the Palouse. So there was a Donald Trump rally out in Pullman. Kevin Schilling, then a student, did an interview with a student newspaper about how he thought it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to the rally at their campus of a presidential candidate, but made it very clear in that same interview as a student, again, he was a kid at the time, that he didn't support Donald Trump, but he thought it was cool that a presidential candidate was coming to campus. So these shameless lunatics take the fact that as a college student interested in politics, Kevin Schilling thought it was cool to go to a Donald Trump rally and would have said the same thing no matter what presidential candidate would have come to campus. And he's not a Trump supporter now, you know, hasn't voted for Donald Trump. So they're putting out these mailers because they're so lazy. And they think you are so stupid. These progressives think so little of their voters that they think if we just tie a candidate to Donald Trump, people are so stupid they won't vote for them. This particular ad wasn't paid for by Kevin Schilling's opponent. It was paid for by the New Direction PAC, which is even more telling. So the New Direction PAC says it fights for economic security, social justice, environmental protection, and personal freedoms. We work to elect legislators who put people first rather than the wealthy corporate and special interests that have far too much power in Olympia. Who do you think the top three donors to the New Direction PAC are who don't want Kevin Schilling in office? The three most powerful unions in the state. SEIU 775, the Washington Education Association, and SEIU Healthcare, 1199 Northwest. These are the unions that are benefiting profoundly from hundreds of millions of dollars in new taxes. And they don't want a Democrat like Kevin Schilling, who has been willing to push back against things that will be detrimental to our economy, like new taxes, like an out-of-control minimum wage. So they're like, what is the lowest hanging fruit that we can do to make sure Kevin Schilling doesn't win? Let's say that MAGA loves him. Because again, they really do think voters are stupid. And rather than talking about their own candidate, so in this race, it is Edwin Obross versus Kevin Schilling. They're both Democrats, but they're very different kinds of Democrats. And Edwin Obross was installed in that seat by Democrats to fill a vacancy, which is why they have to run for this seat again. And he, hook, line, and sinker, every single thing Democrats and progressives wanted to do in Olympia, he voted for. And they know Kevin Schilling won't. Because Kevin Schilling has pushed back against King County and the unwillingness to clean up encampments that are flooding downtown Burien, gotten a legal battle over it. And he's pushed back against higher taxes. And Democrats can't have that. So they need to take a fellow Democrat who they have more in common with than not And they're willing to throw him under the bus and paint him as a MAGA Trump supporter. It's wild stuff. And this is a consistent theme. So there's two other. And to me, let me just say, if you're a Democratic voter, fine, cool. I know we have Democratic voters who watch the show. And you don't like Donald Trump. Isn't it offensive to you that that's like the only thing they tried to earn your vote based off of? Is they think you're so dim-witted and dumb that the only issue you care about is Donald Trump? And that's what they keep pushing out there and shoving down your... Doesn't that kind of offend you? I just feel like it would offend me if they were just low-hanging fruit, weren't talking about the serious issues the state was facing, and just thinking that I'm dumb and dim-witted enough to vote for someone based on how much they hate Donald Trump. So that's the case in these two other D-on-D races. So in state Senate, very important race for the 48th Legislative District, which is like Kirkland area, Vandana Slaughter is the current state senator for that district, but she was installed by Democrats to fill a vacancy. And running to challenge her is Amy Wallen. Amy Wallen is a Democrat. I don't agree with everything she does, but she certainly has been more business friendly, more interested in actually making public safety improvements. So I've said, if you're a Republican in that district, vote for Amy Wallen. The other one where this Trump obsession is happening is state Senate, the race for the 5th district, which, again, similar situation. Victoria Hunt was installed by Democrats to fill a vacancy that happened after Senator Bill Ramos passed away. She's being challenged by Republican Chad Magandons. I've already said, even if you're a moderate Democrat, we need to try to steal the supermajority away from Democrats so the disastrous policies aren't happening. So you got to vote for Chad in this race. But here, so I start seeing all these ads pop up. And it's like they're written by the same person. I mean, these candidates have to have like the exact same campaign advisor who's taping all their ads and pushing them out. Here are two ads recently released by Vandana Slaughter and Victoria Hunt.
As your state senator, I'm working hard on local priorities in a time of Trump chaos.
That's why I invested in public safety and first responders and worked to protect our economy and neighbors from Trump chaos.
Trump chaos.
Trump chaos.
Trump chaos.
Trump chaos. I mean, even the music is the same. Who cares? You're running for state Senate. You're not going to be able to do anything about Donald Trump. But they think so little of their voters, and I'm sure some of their voters are going to absolutely love that. Like, oh, they're fighting against Donald Trump. They have my vote. And then not care if they're actually doing anything beneficial to the state. And while I'm at it, Victoria Hunt. So I see her ad, it's playing all the freaking time. I'm used to lies in political ads. I've been covering politics here for 15 years. I'm used to gaslighting and political ads and all of that. But this one, almost every single sentence is either a lie or an exaggeration or a misdirection. So first, let me just play it in full.
We need legislators who put our priorities first. That's why I invested in public safety and first responders, funded local schools for my kids and yours, expanded affordable housing and protected seniors on fixed incomes, and worked to protect our economy and neighbors from Trump chaos. And when the state budget was threatened by federal cuts, I reduced spending and defended critical services.
I'm so over it. It's so frustrating to me because all of us, we watch those ads with a critical eye. And we follow state politics and all of this. But you have to remember, there's so many people who are sitting on their couches and they just absorb all of those lies and all of that nonsense. Let me go over it piece by piece if we could. So let's play it again.
We need legislators who put our priorities first. That's why I invested in public safety and first responders.
Okay, stop right there. You invested in public safety and first responders. You guys passed a watered down version of a promise that Bob Ferguson made to give $100 million to hire more law enforcement officers. And what it did at the end of the day is a skeleton of what it was promised to do. And not a single dollar of that $100 million has to actually be spent on hiring more police officers. It can be spent on all this ideological nonsense. And in order to spend it, cities and counties have to pass a tax increase. When cities and counties should already have more than enough money, and our state should already have more than enough money to fund one of the core functions of government, public safety. So you didn't invest in shit. Okay, keep going.
Local schools for my kids and yours.
Stop there. You funded local schools for my kids and yours. That's literally mandated by law. We have something called the McCleary decision that mandates that you fully fund education. So that's not something great you did. It's literally a legal requirement. And might I also say, which I'll get to in a moment, more of, in order to quote unquote fully fund local schools, you guys have increased property taxes and allowed local jurisdictions to increase property taxes exponentially. And even though we're spending more money on education than ever before, test scores are lower than ever, enrollment is down, and attendance is down. So you can fully fund our schools all you want, but our schools are still performing very poorly. Keep going.
Expanded affordable housing and protected seniors on fixed incomes.
Okay, stop right there. Expanded affordable housing and protect... No, you guys didn't. You've only been in the Senate, first of all. This was your first legislative session in the Senate. Was there a bunch of new affordable housing that was built in the last 6 months? You also passed rent control, which will dramatically decrease housing availability in the state of Washington. Not to mention when you say you protected affordable housing for seniors. First of all, you guys gave local jurisdictions more taxing authority to increase property taxes. And you guys contemplated allowing essentially unlimited property tax increases. So that's just all a lie. Okay, keep going.
And worked to protect our economy and neighbors from Trump's chaos.
Stop right there. Worked to protect our economy and neighbors from Trump chaos. So didn't even like necessarily do it. You worked to do it. Was that successful or not? But at the same time, you guys passed $9.5 billion in taxes. Most of those directed at the business community. Explain to me how that's protecting our economy. We already have businesses leaving over it. $9.5 billion in new taxes, a big chunk of that increased B&O taxes, even for small businesses. You didn't protect our economy from anyone, from anything. You have hurt our economy. Gosh, let's keep going.
When the state budget was threatened by federal cuts,
Stop it right there. And not to mention she's in front of a pride flag, which is like, come on, bro. Can you actually go back a little bit? Does it allow you to rewind? Oh, I thought the pride flag was above the American flag for a second. I was about to have a heart palpitation. So can you go back even a little more? Sorry.
And when the state budget was threatened by federal cuts, I reduced spending and defended critical services.
When our state budget was threatened by federal cuts, we had a $15 billion budget deficit that had nothing to do with the federal government. When our state budget was threatened by federal cuts, it was all self-imposed. It was a total self-inflicted wound, years and years and years of Democratic misspending. But you can't acknowledge that because then you'd be putting the onus on yourself. So you blame it on the federal government when we came into the session before Donald Trump with a $15 billion plus budget deficit? I don't even know what to say to that. It's one of the most dishonest political ads I've ever seen. And she's only been in politics, in the state legislature in politics, for like 7 months. Not even. And she's already putting out one of the most dishonest political ads I've seen in 15 years covering politics in the state of Washington? That's psycho. It's just crazy stuff. So all these people, Trump, oh my gosh, lowest common denominator. And the other thing I'd say about it, did you really not actually do anything that you're proud of that you could talk about in your ads? Like, isn't there one thing you did that you actually did that's not a lie that you could talk about in your ad? Is there nothing like that? Every single line you have to make up or exaggerate or gaslight? That's really concerning. I'll also say, can you play her full ad? Sorry, I'm beating a dead horse. Can you play the full ad from her one more time?
We need legislators who put our priorities first. That's why I invested in public safety and first responders, funded local schools for my kids and yours, expanded affordable housing, and protected seniors on fixed incomes.
Okay, so you can stop it there. If you didn't know any better, doesn't that sound like a moderate? All of these progressives, before they get to the Trump TDS part, all these progressives and Bob Ferguson, they run for their job acting like moderates. So what does that tell you? It tells you that they think that that will appeal to voters, that they think that'll help them win an election. If they talk about public safety and the economy and taxes, but then they go to Olympia and they act cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and do the exact opposite. But that's confusing to me because if you think being a moderate will get you elected and that voters like it, then why not just go to Olympia and be a moderate, and then you don't have to lie in your campaign ads about being a moderate. It is so freaking strange. So please get your primary ballots in. Please don't sit out D-on-D races, because some of these Democrats are liars and they're also incredibly extreme. All right. Speaking of, you know, sort of painting this, oh my gosh, Trump, MAGA, everything has to be tied to MAGA. So Joe Kent was confirmed as the director of the National Counterterrorism Center. So Joe Kent is a former congressional candidate in Washington State's 3rd District. He's run a couple times. He hasn't won. But he was tapped by Donald Trump very early on to head the National Counterterrorism Center. He was just awaiting his confirmation. So that has now happened. He posted, "It's an honor to serve our nation again and to be back in the fight against terrorism. Thank you, President Trump and DNI Gabbard, for your confidence in my leadership. NCTC will relentlessly pursue and defeat our nation's enemies. In honor of our fallen, we fight on." So I don't need everyone to like Joe Kent. In fact, for a while, I thought he was way too far to the right. I had a nice conversation with him when he was running this last time. And I was like, you know, I think I was wrong about you. You seem like a very, very intelligent, very reasonable person. And if there's anything that I know he can do well, it's to fight our nation's enemies. He, you might know, is a Gold Star family. So he served Army Special Forces, 11 combat tours, primarily in Iraq. And then he worked with the CIA, and his wife, Shannon, was killed in combat. She was killed in a suicide bombing in Syria. So this is someone who has served our country more than we should ever expect of any soldier, 11 combat tours, but who also lost the love of his life, who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country and our freedom in the fight against terrorism. So politics is one thing, but to not honor his service, his sacrifice, his wife's life, and what they've done for our country is genuinely disgusting. And read this post from United States Senator Patty Murray. I can hardly stomach this. "Republicans just voted to confirm Joe Kent, a conspiracy theorist with white supremacist views, to be in charge of counterterrorism. We had all the evidence we'd ever need to know that he's not competent or going to do the right thing. Republicans will own this and vote on Kent's record." She has said a lot of outrageous things. That is genuinely disgusting. This is one of your constituents. He lives in Washington State. His wife was one of your constituents who paid the ultimate price for this country. And you can't even honor his service and his family's sacrifice. 11 combat tours fighting against terrorists. And you don't think that he'll do the right thing? 11 combat tours, a Gold Star husband, and you don't think he's capable of fighting terrorism? I mean, the depths of, it's so depraved. And this whole thing about him being a conspiracy theorist with white supremacist views, you know, all those stories have been debunked, totally over-exaggerated by local media about ties to, I think it was the Proud Boys or something like that, that he had a friend of someone on his staff. Just outrageous. For her to not at least, I mean, I would say just zip it. But at least honor, hey, here's a post. You know, Joe Kent, I don't think he's qualified to do this kind of work. Concerned about some of his views, give an actual example, and then say, but I appreciate his service to our country, and I wish him success in this position. I appreciate his service and his family's sacrifice to our country nonetheless. And I hope that he will do well in this position. Is that really so hard? Senator, is that really so hard? Honestly disgusting. Anything, mega, rah, 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 it's just wild. Okay, coming up next, we have a couple updates for you, including on the teacher who is in the country illegally from Brazil, an update on our story about Paco, and an update on the Narcan puppy. Oh, back to back to back updates. We got to keep you guys up to date on the latest. First, run your retirement portfolio through Department of Retirement Efficiency with our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital. Zach and his team specialize in managing risk. It's their job to make sure that they protect your hard-earned retirement. And if you don't know how your portfolio is performing in the first 7 months of the year, I mean, there's been a ton going on between tariffs, You know, this whole up and down, back and forth over rate hikes or rate cuts and what's happening globally. If you have no idea what's going on, it's probably a good indication you need a second opinion to figure out, hey, is my manager actively managing my portfolio or not? So what Zach and his team will do, totally free, they'll give you, they talk about their risk management strategy. They'll go through the composition of your portfolio, talk about, you know, their thoughts on it for the rest of 2025 and maybe a little longer term outlook, and talk about how they're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. You only get one retirement. Get a second opinion on your portfolio's efficiency. Schedule your free risk review now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Don't put it off. Knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, three quick updates for you. So Fernando Alves Roca, this is the 45-year-old Brazilian national who came into the U.S. on a tourist visa in 2018 and just decided to stay here. He apparently had applied for asylum like either the day his tourist visa was expiring or the day before, but it was still all very shady. He was picked up by ICE, as you know, I believe last week, arrested by Euro Seattle. And he's wanted also in Brazil for theft, which is one of the things that factored into them going out to pick him up. It says he'll be detained by ICE pending removal proceedings. Well, as you know, this story, you know, got spun a certain way in the media because he's a theater teacher. He runs their theater at a high school in Kirkland. So all the headlines, oh my gosh, Kirkland High School theater teacher detained by ICE. And then you kind of learn more of the background, that he just decided to come here from Brazil and stay and abused our asylum process. That's not how it's supposed to be used. You're not supposed to just come in for vacay, say, this place is nice, I think I'll stay here. As we talked about on the show yesterday, a federal immigration judge decided to grant him a $10,000 bond and he was bailed out. So he gets to await all of these proceedings outside and not in detention. And there was this rumor that the teachers union had bailed him out. And that's kind of the rumor we heard in a comment on the show yesterday, and we said we'd look into it. I'm happy to report that the teachers union did not bail him out, and they did not bail him out at all, but definitely not using union dues, which I wouldn't have been surprised if that were true, but it wasn't true. So here's what happened. So he, and I'm actually fine with this, honestly. There was a GoFundMe for him, help bring Fernando home, a beloved union brother detained. And it was the IATSE Local 15, so the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, which represents live event workers in Western Washington. So because he, you know, worked at a school in theater, but also did some theater stuff out in the community, apparently he was a member of this union. So they ran a GoFundMe to try to support Fernando and his family. And I've said before, we had this exact conversation about on the show, should you be able to have a GoFundMe to post bail? You know, because it's also been that controversy about, should you be able to have a GoFundMe to support someone facing criminal charges for their defense fees? I've said, I think yes. As long as you know what you're donating to. Like, for instance, in the Paco story, which we'll get to an update on next, people didn't know they were donating to someone who is accused of murder in Mexico. So as long as you know what you're doing, why would I care what you do with your money? If you want to spend your hard-earned money bailing Fernando out while he's awaiting his asylum case and immigration proceedings, why do I care? Now, if it had been the teachers' union that out of their union dues bailed this guy out, then I'd have a problem with that. And I think other teachers who pay into those union dues, the same ones, would have a problem with that as well. But yeah, you want to have this theatrical union run a GoFundMe and bail him out? I don't care about that. And they said all funds in excess of Fernando and his family's needs will be donated to immigrants' rights organizations in the Puget Sound region. No funds donated will go to this union. So they're not going to keep any of the funds for it. It's all going to go to these immigrants' rights causes. Meanwhile, he's already bonded out, and Cairo 7 News captured him outside the courthouse. I want to play a part of that.
I'm not a violent person. They report they treat me badly because I was being aggressive and resisting, which is not true. And I really wish I could have filmed everything, because they were very brutal, disrespectful. They don't want to hear what I have to say.
Brutal, disrespectful, don't want to hear what he has to say. I have so many thoughts on this. First of all, there's just this weirdness of all of this. Like, dude, you came here on a vacation 6 years ago and just stayed. And that's weird. And it's against the law. And I just feel like we normalize it so much. And the news media is like, oh, this poor guy. It's like, no, dude, like he came here from Brazil and just decided to stay one day. You don't have a problem with that. We couldn't do that anywhere else. But also his, you know, they were rude and didn't know what to say. Now, you guys know I tell you everything. I've had some run-ins with the law. Oh, yes. I've been in handcuffs. This one time in particular, I partied a lot in college, okay? And in high school. So this was actually high school. This one time in particular, I was at an underage drinking party, real scandalous stuff. And my family, we lived like way out in the boonies. So they let all the other kids' parents come get them because they lived like down the street, right? But my parents couldn't get there for like an hour or more. So they hauled my butt off to a jail to sit in a little holding center while I was waiting for my parents. And I remember this so well. I even remember what I was wearing. I couldn't find my other shoe. They didn't care. They drove me out to this car, little like probably 17-year-old Brandy, who's, you know, been drinking cheap booze. And they wouldn't let me put my shoe on. And it's the middle of the winter in Minnesota. And I'm walking on like ice, like crackle, you know, like that ice that comes up. It's really hard. And I'm like, I need a shoe. And I'm like trying to hop on ice. So they were very disrespectful to me. They didn't let me talk. And they dragged me out of a house as just a young little girl with one shoe on in the dead of winter. So I'm sorry, Fernando. I don't know what you were expecting. Like, you came into this country, you abused our asylum system, you're not a lawful citizen. They had a reason to detain you. And I'm sorry you felt as if law enforcement wasn't respectful enough to you. But I can tell you from experience, they very rarely are when you break the law. All right, did you know that story? It's a different story from the time that I woke up, passed out in a Hooters waitress costume in college, and they gave me a minor while under a drinking minor in possession. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. In a Hooters waitress knew parts costume. Of that story. I didn't know it all. But I did know that I have not been in handcuffs, but I did know it was not going to the spa. Like, I don't know what these people think it is.
No, it's like getting arrested sucks. And breaking the law, you know, that leads to getting arrested sometimes. And as much as I was annoyed that I got dragged out of that house party in the cold with one shoe on, I was drinking underage, you know?
Like, go grab your jacket.
Go grab your jacket.
You know, bundle up. It's going to be chilly.
Can we help her find her shoe? Can we help her find her shoe? Oh, it's just good stuff. All right, let's keep going because this is just fun. All right, so we, of course, have covered the entirety of the Paco story. Similar situation, you know, GoFundMe for a guy, spin a total sob story. They say his name's Paco. Turns out his name is Youssef Zarate Bourbon, an illegal Mexican national wanted for murder in his home country. So we sort of debunked all of that, and that's where we left it yesterday. And I said, I think the biggest culprit in all of this is not the woman who ran the GoFundMe. It's Youssef, if he really killed someone. But then it's the Olympian newspaper that had posted this uncritical headline, just totally buying hook, line, and sinker, the story being told in the GoFundMe. And I was annoyed yesterday that they have not taken it down, corrected it. You know, despite knowing since Monday that there was a very clear reason to be, multiple reasons to be suspicious of the story. So this reporter, who's apparently on vacation, has had time to post on X about hearing everyone's feedback about the story, but apparently not to correct it or take it down. Well, they have added one thing to the story as of this morning. This editor's note. The Olympian is further investigating this story and donation solicitation after the fundraiser was removed from the GoFundMe site. Well, that's why you're further investigating it? Didn't feel the need to, I don't know, investigate it at all before publishing it? But now, since the GoFundMe was taken down, you're going to investigate it? Why do you think the GoFundMe was taken down? It's because we did your job for you. And we got the GoFundMe taken down because the story's not true. But of course, you know, they'll never credit our actual journalism with, you know, raising some questions about the Paco story. What, he just noticed on vacation? Oh, hey, that GoFundMe's been taken down. We should really look into this. And they haven't taken, why would, that's all it is, by the way. They've made no changes to the story. It just has that editorial note. Headline's still the same. And by the way, this story went out to other newspapers because it's treated as sort of a wire story to other newspapers owned by the owner of the Olympian. So it was published in multiple places. Take the story down. Because this is the kind of stuff, as I said, it drives fear and hate and division and violence toward ICE. And then when you get back from vacation on Monday, because apparently there's no other reporters at the Olympian that can do this, when you get back from vacation, write a story that has an apology and a retraction. But for now, it's like, no, I'm just going to slap this editor's note on there when we know the story is false. And we just leave it up. It's crazy. It's crazy. And it's crazy. What else do I even say about that? The Olympian, garbage, 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 garbage. One more update, and we've got some new stories to get to. It was Miranda Lambert who visited the little Narcan puppy. So, of course, you'll remember the puppy that was saved by the was it Lacey Fire Department. Mm-hmm. Had been exposed to fentanyl and was overdosing right alongside a human. And they Narcanned a little puppy, and we were so worried that they had, and its mama. We were so worried the puppy was given back to this drug abuser who didn't care about its life. Turns out it went to the Seattle Humane Society, and they had said, so they named the puppy Espresso, and an adoption is already pending for the puppy. So
actually, it's been changed now. It says adopted.
Okay, so the puppy's official. Been adopted, Espresso, and it said he received a clean bill of health followed by a surprise celebrity visitor. Who took them on? Who nearly decided to take him on tour? And I was like, I wonder who that was. It was Miranda Lambert. Oh, so nice. She didn't post a specific picture with the puppy Espresso, but said that she had posted on Instagram a day in the life of the I'm the Problem tour because she was touring with Morgan Wallen. She was here last Friday. And she said their first stop was a visit to Seattle Humane, which I love. I love when celebrities use their platform to give attention to animals that need adoption. So Miranda Lambert,
I knew I had seen it. This is my sleuthing because they never really did. They never posted anything with her and with the puppy. I just kind of I knew I had seen a post of some celebrity at Seattle Humane and I figured it out.
So. Yeah, it was Miranda Lambert and her little cop husband went there with her. That's great. Thank you, Miranda. That is so nice. And I'm so happy the puppy's adopted. Hopefully in a home where there are no drug abusers. I imagine that was like the first question Seattle Humane asked. Do you use fentanyl? If so, do you use it around your dogs? What a great story. See, we need
if
a little
so,
feel-good
story. If so, would you
story.
Put it in a lockbox,
yes,
please?
If so, the state of Washington will offer a free lockbox for you to lock it up before you get high around your puppy or your baby. All right, you guys, I am going to have to show you more pictures of that transgender city council member who can't stop protesting naked because now they're running for mayor. But first, so, you know. Gear up for that one. First, I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. Why? It's free. And you could save thousands of dollars. It sells itself, you guys. And it doesn't even sell itself because you never have to pay for it. So really, you know, just do it. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. We get endless stories. I swear, like, we're going to get to the point where every undivided viewer or listener is a member of the First Mark family. And then First Mark's going to say, hey, we have every viewer and listener, so we don't really need you anymore. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they would do that. Let's see. Shannon just posted this in our comments today. She said, so I called First Mark a second time because my car insurance went up again. We have had claims for years. We haven't had claims for years waiting for a response. Love that. Yep. That. And I think that's the best time. And you could call First Mark anytime. But a good time is if you get that renewal notice and your insurance is going up. So many people are experiencing that. There's really no harm in scheduling some time with First Mark, having them take a look at it, take a look at your insurance needs. They go out, they do all the work for you for free, and they'll come back with their recommendations. And they might say, hey, we actually can't save you any money, and they'll turn away your business, which is a sign of an honest company. Or like so many undivided viewers and listeners, they'll come back and say, great news, we can save you thousands of dollars a year. Jacob says they saved him $600 on their home, $2,000 a year on his family's cars, which is crazy. And I'm thinking, how many cars do you have in your family, Jacob? Why were you paying so much for car insurance? But First Mark Insurance helped him out. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. All right. City council member who is facing a recall effort in the town of Stevenson, Washington, because he absolutely insists on engaging in semi-nude protests, is now mounting a bid for mayor. Let's talk about it in our segment. Unbelievable. You know, I'm sorry, guys. Every time I show this footage, people log off the live stream. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Armed and queer, Lucy Lossier, transsexual menace, as he refers to himself. So this is a city council member in Stevenson, Washington, who has, I guess, a pastime posting nudes everywhere, like this one, taking a shower at a campground, 30-year-old female, 280 pounds, 6'3". So transgender, Lucy Lossier identifies as a woman. It is, however, he is a man. Also really hates Republicans, calls them Nazis.
says they're armed and queer, transsexual menace, all this stuff. So just problematic. But Lucy really wants you to stop sexualizing trans bodies. Even though Lucy posts nude pictures, and I don't know what else the point would be other than something sexual. But Lucy has been having these topless protests around town where he says that it's like has held signs like stop sexualizing trans bodies and is clearly out there like to get attention. So here's one of the videos.
Unfortunately, I need you to cover yourself up or it's considered indecent exposure.
That's not true.
Why?
Nudity as a form of protest is allowed under First Amendment.
But you cannot expose yourself like that. I know you're expressing your First Amendment, but you cannot expose yourself. And if anyone calls in and is offended by it, you need to cover yourself.
It's just so much. And we have had this whole debate a bunch of times about, is it actually indecent exposure because it's a man? Because if I'm consistent in saying that's a man, then it's okay for him to be topless, right? Although we've seen the unblurred image, and I don't know if it's hormones or whatever, but it definitely looks like he has breasts, I will say that. But if he says he's a woman, then he would have to acknowledge that being topless in public could be indecent exposure. So it's all weird. But Andy Ngo, independent journalist who had initially broke the stories about Lucy Lossier, says this sex-obsessed Transifa radical in Stevenson, Washington, is now running to be the next mayor. The ACLU is representing Lucy to fight efforts by residents to recall him from the city council. He has been repeatedly arrested for indecent exposure in downtown. So there's already a recall effort over the nude protest. And now, I guess, Lucy wants more attention by running for mayor. And perhaps we're giving Lucy too much attention and should stop doing so. But I had to talk about this today because the damn news media, you guys, they did like an extended interview with this dude and painted it as the most sympathetic. Oh my gosh, he's just protesting for trans rights. This is from KGW Channel 8. A Stevenson city councilor protested topless for trans rights. She now faces a recall campaign. So just as like it's a statement, protested topless for trans rights. As if that's, first of all, I have so much to say. As if that's the only way you could protest for trans rights. Mm-hmm. That's your only option. You got to do it topless. And then this is someone who posts nude pictures all the time on a variety of platforms. Some clearly meant to be sexually suggestive, like fully nude in a shower at like a rest stop campground. That clearly looks like an invitation for sex. Like, no, this wasn't for trans rights. It was just because he likes to be naked and seen naked. And then it says she now faces a recall campaign. Not she. It's a 200. He's a 280-pound, 6'3" man who has autogonophilia. Not a doubt in my mind. So KGW posts, "Oh, sobbing. It's just this is my right to protest, and it's for trans rights and all this." No, dude, you post nude pictures online all the time. And they won't call that out. They won't call out the absurdity of it because you can't do that. You can't push back against the radical trans agenda in any way. And I just refuse moving forward to trust any news article that refers to a biological man as a woman. You can say, you know, transgender, whatever, identifies as a woman. But when you say she and it's clearly a man, like, how am I supposed to trust you to tell truth if you can't tell a simple truth like that? So just crazy. I pledge to you, we'll stop showing pictures of Lucy. Just go find Lucy online.
Unless
somewhere.
He keeps making the news.
But it's like, I do believe it's autogonophilia.
Oh, it is.
I do believe he wants the attention. Now, that doesn't mean it's not a news story. It just shows how crazy Washington State is. But when the news media picks it up and spins it as this sob story, it's like, this poor girl, she's just protesting topless for trans rights. And now these evil bigots want to recall her. It's just not reality. And it's really quite exhausting, frankly.
In part of the interview, he says that he was just sick to his stomach before he went out there with his breast showing. He was just sick to his stomach and he didn't want to do it, but he just had to.
You're naked all the time. Okay, mm-hmm. Stop it. KGW, for the love of God. These news reporters have lost their minds. This is the other thing I will say. I know. Am I shaming you? Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. How much do we complain about mainstream news? And you guys love our show because you hate mainstream news so much. Mm-hmm. And I know there are thousands and thousands of you who watch the show every day but aren't supporting us yet. This is a fan-funded show. So if you hate mainstream news, look at all the journalism we've done this week that the mainstream media refuses to do. So we would love to have you support our show. Just $5 a month. That's a screaming deal. That's a screaming deal. Okay, coming up next, speaking of public nudity, I want to talk about it in our daily subscriber show poll, and then we'll get into a tremendous addition to Florida Report. Or do you want to do Florida Report first? We'll give people time to take the poll. Okay, let's do that. First, don't forget to sign up for the Engage Conference at the Baden-Bauer Center in Bellevue, October 22nd to 23rd. I'm going to be doing a panel there. I think it's called like Beyond the Soundbite, talking about the news media and how they cover housing issues very poorly and manufacture stories about rent control, et cetera. My friend Jonathan Cho is going to be joining me on that panel, so it should be a lively one for sure. He, of course, has covered homelessness a lot and what it's going to take to actually increase in the housing supply. So Engage Conference is put on by our friends and sponsors at the Rental Housing Association of Washington. If you're a small to mid-sized landlord and you want to become a member of RHA, they will help you navigate this insane climate that we're in for housing providers. Go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org, sign up to become a member, and then sign up to attend the Engage Conference. I would absolutely love to see you there. All right, it is Thursday. My sister is back from her adventure back home to Minnesota for her 20th high school reunion. So we thought we'd talk to her about that, but also about some things happening in the Sunshine State.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
Fresh off your 20-year high school reunion back to Minnesota, you were laughing because you said you actually got quite a nice tan in Minnesota.
I did. I'm like, it's too hot in Miami to be outside. And then Minnesota's like those beautiful little summers. So yeah. I was outside a lot more often.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but you said you felt you got shunned by some people at the high school reunion because you voted for Donald Trump.
I did. I mean, really quick backstory. I used to have a little group from back home that we would kind of like air our grievances about Donald Trump during his first term. Yeah. And I was very vocal. I was going through a post-adolescent idealistic phase. And since then, I've kind of matured a little bit. And my view of the world is a little bit wider and not such a tunnel vision. And when that started to become apparent to this group of people, they kicked me out of the little Facebook group. And then I saw a few of them back home and they didn't say anything to me, but they didn't say anything to me, not even hello. So
crazy. Yeah, it's just weird. It's like, okay, so are you gonna go about your life ignoring like 78 million Americans, especially when we have such a nuanced view on Donald Trump and came around to him so late? You know, it's just it's weird. But you know what? Fine. We don't want to talk to you either. All right. So I want to talk with some about some public safety. This segment of Florida Report specifically focused on public safety, which I think is one of the big differentiators between a state like ours and Washington and what's happening in Florida. First, this is great. Child predator sting leads to 48 arrests and filing of 153 charges. I think one of the disturbing parts about this sting, according to the AG, that some of these people were illegals.
Yeah, so some of these people were either illegal immigrants, but also green card holding foreign nationals. Six of this 48 people fell under those categories, from anywhere from Jamaica, El Salvador, all the way to India and Dubai are where these people are from. And it's reported that they came to America with the specific intent to exploit children.
Which is crazy to me, because when you look at, if I think about foreign countries, right? I'd be like, gosh, isn't it easier? I'd like to think it's easier to exploit children in third world countries than it is the United States of America. But if that's not the case, that's deeply disturbing. And I should correct something I said. I don't think the most disturbing part of the story is people were here from other countries. Whether you're an American citizen or you're from another country and you're exploiting a child, that's disgusting. It doesn't matter. But of course, we're talking a lot about immigration and these people were flagged with detainers. So it sounds like maybe they got a one-way ticket to, not a one-way. It would be a one-way ticket to Alligator Alcatraz and then a one-way ticket back to their home country, hopefully after they serve prison time.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree with people who commit crimes on American soil to stay here and you know, face the penalty of that crime and justice. Because if you send them to their home countries, they're probably just going to walk free and come in another back door into America.
Yeah, and then they'll be back here and they'll be doing the same thing. So if it's a serious crime. Now, if it's someone who, like, gets picked up, and let's say it's a crime where they would have only spent a few days in jail or something, just ship them back. At that point, it's not worth the money and the resources of a trial or whatever it's going to take. Just ship them back. Okay, so Ron DeSantis, and I don't know what the organization he was in front of, but he was talking to sheriffs.
Yeah, it was the Florida Sheriff's Association summer conference. They do it every year.
Yeah. So obviously a much different, if our governor, I don't think our governor would be invited to speak to the Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs at their annual conference. So that's difference number one. But Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida was their keynote speaker. And I want to play a couple cuts that you watched the whole thing and pulled some ones that you really liked. So I think this is relevant to why we do this story. He talked about why so many people are moving to Florida from places like Washington State and the West Coast.
The number one reason why people fly the coop from some of these places is because law and order is broken down. They don't feel safe in their communities. The politicians, for whatever reason, have let inmates run the asylum. What we've done in Florida is we've done strong policy and we've done strong support for the people that are out there getting the job done. At the end of the day, you can have the right policy if you don't have folks in our sheriff's departments and in our police departments that are out there doing God's work, then you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, and that's, we have the lowest number of police officers per capita of any state in the nation, and that's because they're not respected here, bottom line.
Yeah, it's true. And he also kind of goes on to mention that, you know, on the other side, you can have the strongest police force, very dedicated officers, but if you don't have the politicians and the policies to give them, you know, the green light to do their job, you're going to wind up in a really messy situation too.
Yeah, enforcing the law in all the way. And I know he talked about the judicial system as well. Like, we've got states like ours letting people who are convicted, they're arrested, they're convicted, they're sentenced, and then they get this early release sometimes. And it's like, bro, we don't do that here. And here we do, you know, he's like, we sent you to prison. You're going to spend that time in prison. You're not getting some pardon as the governor, whatever it is. Part of that, of course, is, you know, Florida's decision not to embrace BLM and the tenets of that movement, unlike so many blue states.
You know, this guy running for mayor in New York City, you know, wants to defund the NYPD. He said that many, many times. And this is an asinine policy. We said it at the time. You know, a lot of the media were hyping this. These politicians thought it was like somehow cool to do it. You know, they had their social media campaigns and everything. The places that did that got catastrophically bad results as a result of doing that.
Yeah, he can stand there and be like, I never supported that nonsense.
Yeah, not from day one. Even back in those BLM days when I was, like I said, in my post-adolescent idealistic phase, and I was at the BLM protests, they were pretty straight-laced, just people out, you know, speaking their piece, but not like the rest of this country, where things were burning and being destroyed.
I do have some of what he said about the rioting, but, you know, he mentioned Mamdani, the socialist running for mayor of New York. It was disgusting. Today, he has the audacity to go to the memorial service for the police officer who was murdered in that shooting in Midtown Manhattan. And he's acting like, oh, I don't support defund the police anymore. 2020 was a long time ago. No, it wasn't. And your city's still dealing with the impacts of people like you calling for police defunding and vilifying the police. There's all these old, disgusting tweets of his. So I'm all for people coming around and making a different decision. I think we have to allow them to do that. Or what are we complaining about? But I don't believe people who were like, he was celebrating. He said there was this tweet where somebody was saying, oh, I just saw a police officer crying in their car. And he retweeted it and said, the earth is healing. So, like, that's not someone who's come around and changed his mind. He still hates cops. He just wants to be elected.
Yeah. That's not the type of person that's going to come in and bridge the gap.
No.
You know, that needs to be bridged at all.
Well, and nobody's going to take you seriously. I mean, if you can show over a period of time, if you're elected mayor, that you are going to change your ways and be pro-police and get more police on the force and be pro-public safety, then maybe over a certain amount of time, we'll start to believe you. But when you just come out because you're running and say, I don't support, like Bob Ferguson did in our state, like all of a sudden he's a public safety candidate after years of crapping on the police. Nonsense. You mentioned the riot thing. So DeSantis has been, remember the press conference he had that one time, there's like Florida, the anti-riot state, you know, when all the ICE stuff was blowing up. So we talked about that.
You see unrest across this country now very frequently, and it's whatever cause celeb somebody has. So we enacted the strongest anti-riot legislation in the country, and part of it is geared towards really coming down hard if these rioters are harming law enforcement, because they do target law enforcement. We also want to make sure they're not just caught and released immediately so they can keep going. So we had some good bail provisions in there. And then we made sure that individuals had a right to defend themselves. And particularly, you know, if you have a swarm of these people that are like banging on your car, you have every right to just get out of Dodge as fast as you can. And you don't need to sit there and be like a sitting duck.
And that matters, right? When you, there's a reason why they don't riot in Florida like they do in Seattle, Portland, and LA, because they know that they're going to end up in prison.
Yeah, it's a discipline thing. Like, he's made it very clear and very sincere from the beginning that you don't get to just take over streets when you have something to protest about. You can protest all you want, but the minute you step a toe out of line, like he mentions mm-hmm. at some point in that thing, you're going to face repercussions, whether it's getting somebody getting out of Dodge, driving their car through a group, or a police officer putting you in check. That's, you have every right to be out there, but once you step that little toe out of line, like, they put you right back in your place.
And, yeah, there's. Yeah. I have that clip that you're referencing where he talks about, and this is what you experienced when you went to cover the No Kings in Miami for us, is it was very orderly. It was like waiting at lights, looking both ways before you cross the street. Here's DeSantis.
They were protesting something, maybe it was the immigration, and it's like they would tiptoe in the street, but as soon as that light changed, like, you see the video of these guys getting up, because, you know, we're just not going to tolerate the nonsense. And the more you tolerate it, the more it builds, and it builds, and you get even more and more terrible results.
100%. Why are they so emboldened in a city like Seattle to destroy federal property, to assault ICE agents, et cetera? It's because they've gotten away over the years with so many little things. We normalize, like, no, you can take over the streets. That's fine. You're protesting injustice. You know, yes, you can. Oh, that's all right. You want to take over 6 square blocks of the city? That's fine. We'll call it a summer of love. So then they just get emboldened, and now they're violent.
Yeah, of course. And we had talked about it at the No Kings protest. It was like a whole stream of people broken up by red lights. So they're like, you know, they're like waiting for traffic, waiting for the countdown, and then they'd run across. And it was just so funny to watch from a distance, because I know that doesn't happen in a lot of other states, not just in Washington, but all over the country. I think people get a little, you know, they get a little excessive when they protest, but not down here.
No, I love that. And it's really, honestly, just too damn hot in Miami to spend an awful lot of time protesting and getting buck wild. I'm not trying to be out there being sweaty, really, for any cause. All right, Miranda, good stuff. Sorry you've been shunned by some of our high school friends, but somehow, some way, I think you'll get over it.
Yeah, and it's like, I look at it more of being seen and less of being shunned. I think that they really looked up to me. So hopefully, eventually, they'll come around and be open to more, you know, colorful conversation.
Maybe they too will grow up and grow out of it. All right, maybe. We'll see you later.
Bye.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda doesn't need her high school friends. She has us. She has all of us homies, and we like her no matter who she voted for president. Unless she had voted for Kamala Harris, then she would have been booted off the show and I never would have spoken to her again. Because I'm tolerant like that. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get to our daily subscriber show poll. This has to do, of course, with Lucy Lossier, the city council member who just can't stop protesting in the nude. I asked subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X, should public nudity be a crime, no matter the context? Intentional public nudity. Should intentional public nudity be a crime? Because, like, for instance, if you're walking down the street and your pants fall off, you know. Which happens occasionally. Should intentional public nudity be a crime, no matter the context? Nicole, yes or no?
Yeah, I wish it didn't have to be like a crime, but just unacceptable. Like, no, not allowed. Put some pants on, you know? But I guess you have to have consequences for doing. Yep. So, yes.
Right. 80% of you saying yes, it should be a crime. 20% of you saying no. Chuck said, I voted yes, but the definition of nudity needs to be very specific and not vague like the rest of our laws. Yeah, and nuance is fine. Like, hey, if there's a dedicated nude beach and it's otherwise a public space, mm-hmm. for the most part, I'm okay with that. Although Seattle has one of those, and right now they can't let it be a nude beach because people were going there and pleasuring themselves out in the open. So it's just like, we can't have nice things, right. You know? You can't have
anything.
Well,
and that's the thing is, why couldn't it should just be like, duh, That's not acceptable. People just abide by social norms.
But they won't.
But they just don't. It's just ridiculous the way we are.
What happened
days.
Is a lot of homeless people ended up going there to pleasure themselves at the beach because they could be naked doing it as opposed to like on Third and Pine or whatever it is. And that's what you saw a lot of. Doc Ullman Unreal. Says, everyone is saying, I don't want to see that stuff. But look how many go to that parade or the Pride Parade. I even had one guy ask me if I wanted a BJ at a Pride Parade when I was in my 70s. I think a nude beach is not unreasonable if it's well located. If you don't like it, don't go. Oh, God, somebody, he went to Pride and somebody offered him a, in his, oh, geez, people, no shame. I tend to agree with the RV goalie life. We need to stop lowering the bar on values and morals on everything, nudity, crime, yes, etc. Many please. Of the more sane people don't want your low morals and values affecting our lives. If you want to share your nudity, join a nudist colony. There's a reason we call them privates. But you do you in private, Michelle yes. says. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You can't be nude in a place where other people aren't expecting your nudity, you know? Like, I don't want to be surprised by nudity.
Yes.
So if I'm not, like, if I'm going to a Pride Parade downtown, if the Pride Parade was totally blocked from public spaces and I was going and it was in a, you know, and I was going to see nude people and I knew it. But the problem is so many people go downtown and they have to just see the nude people without even wanting to. And that's
no,
not
I don't
cool.
think there should be nude people in the Pride Parade either.
No. I agree with that. If it was in a private sort of setting,
at
fine.
The nudist
do
colony.
You. Michelle says, unless it's a nudist resort, private, no children under 21 allowed. Did I tell you about the time Miranda and I accidentally went to a swingers resort? Oh, man. No. We accidentally booked a swingers resort. Yes, in Cabo. And we found out within about 10 minutes of coming in the door that we were at a swingers resort. And okay, we were made to feel very uncomfortable. It wasn't a nudist.
So
but it
not
was a swingers
just an adults
resort.
Only. I don't know that I would know that
we
it
were
was
like
a
19.
Swingers.
Oh, we knew.
Oh.
It was very clear what the intent of people there was. Anyway, very awkward.
How did you...
We just
how did
didn't
you handle it?
Hang out at the resort ever. Jackie, I say yes on this one. Usually I would say if it's not hurting anyone, you do you. However, when it comes to nudity in public, you have no way to control whether kids are present or someone sensitive to nudity from some kind of past trauma or past assault is present that you are potentially re-victimizing. I don't even think it has to be past trauma. I shouldn't have to see your saggy bits unless I choose to. Keep them to yourself. And it's always the least in shape
or
people.
Your perky ones.
It's always the, no, but it's never the people with the
it's
perky
ones.
It's
never the perky.
It's, or the hot bods, you know, it's never that.
Nope.
Anyway, so we agree. Just public nudity. We've got to enforce those laws. No public nudity. Because sometimes it's like, oh, if you're doing it for sexual gratification, then it's a crime. It's like, no, it's just a crime. It's weird. Okay, we'll get to our comments coming
just
up next
not okay.
and our closing sanity check. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com. You can start by using their free home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. And then ask Wes for a free market analysis. So he'll just give it to you straight. How's the market performing? How much can you expect to get from your home? How long can you expect it to take to sell your home? All those things are important to consider. And then, you know, he'll come check out your house, tell you honestly if you need to do any cosmetic upgrades. And then he can even manage those projects, which I think is a really cool service he offers because you're talking about taking all the stress out of the home selling process. He's going to manage those projects, make sure it gets done right. And then you don't even have to pay for it until closing. So that if you're concerned like, you know, I need to make some upgrades to my kitchen, but I don't got 10 grand to come out of pocket. Don't worry about it. Wes Jones has got your back. Sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is, honestly, a better way to sell your home. All right. Comments and questions from the live chat. I love that everybody has Miranda's back in the live chat from her. The Trump haters. So rude. So rude.
So rude.
On Bob Ferguson's staff hating them. Isn't that funny, though?
It is. It's good.
Oh, my God. Because that's his inner circle. And now he doesn't know who recorded him.
Right.
He doesn't know who's leaking his... And now he's going to be on edge.
Do you
every
just
time
fire
he's in
them
a meeting.
All?
You just... Well, Bob's petty. He's got his little black
I
book.
Know.
So he'll probably fire them
mm-hmm.
all. Let's
everybody
see.
Know about that black book? He has a black book.
Black book of retribution
mm-hmm.
that is very well documented.
Yeah.
All right. MBB635. Bob Ferguson is the biggest example of failing upward. I couldn't agree more. And we're so like obsessed with putting these career politicians in office as if like... It's just strange.
Yeah.
On the moderate Democrat being called a friend of MAGA. Old Sub Sailor or $10 Super Chat. The socialist communist Dems can't overcome their TDS-driven arrogance. They can never admit they are our equals. They truly believe they're always the smartest person in the room and superior. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely like that. Just dry. Oh, no, they're above us. They're above us.
Right.
Night Owl, there are Washington State moderate Democrats, and we need more moderate Democrats identified ASAP. Yeah, I mean, I've told you a few to vote for, and they're very few, to be frank. Because in my mind, you know, even some of them haven't come around on, like, the radical gender ideology issue. And I just don't think you can be called a moderate if you still believe in child gender mutilation. And so moderate in the sense of Washington Democrats, but not moderate in the sense of any other spectrum of politics.
Speaking out against it, at least.
Right. Or like boys and girls sports. That's such an easy one.
Try to stay out of it. No,
why
you have
look
to
so
speak
small
out
today.
I don't know. You look
like
really bright.
Maybe I'm like, I don't know.
Shrunk.
I did something. Okay, let's see. Jethro McButterpants. Their voters have proven time and again to be subject to TDS. So why would they move away from what works? Yeah, that's true. On the union organizing, the GoFundMe for the teacher's bond, S-A-A-U-C-E says, for Brandy's other shoe and the hurt feelings. Oh, nice. I don't think I ever did get that shoe back, by the way.
Huh.
Let's see here. Naked trans dude now running for mayor. Wow, whoever this S-A-A-U-C-E person is dropping all these super chats in. To start a GoFundMe for all the lives, for all the live folks that had to see that person naked again.
Oh.
We did blur it out. By the way, I have to institute a new policy that I can only read one super chat from each person because we've got to get other people's comments
in.
So if you notice,
bucks.
Well, I know, but I've got to get comments
just
in from
a
bunch
like $2,
of people.
$2.
Yes. Two Ladies Midwest Adventure. Brandy, the left loves making a disruption always. Yes, that's very true. Hello, watermelon. Need bigger black boxes. Oh, around the trans dude. Maybe I'm showing too much still. We'll see whether YouTube takes them down. Let's see. Cynthia, wind Brandy up. Let her roll and sit back with your sit back and enjoy the show. Go, Brandy. Woot woot. Was I particularly wound up today?
I think you're having fun with the Ferguson story.
Oh, I'm always having
fun. That's
fun.
That's
I'm
a good one.
I'm always having a good
anytime
time.
We can start the show with a Bob story. That's
I
a fun
agree.
Day.
Denise, $5 for Nicole's gas fund so she can
you.
Zip around town.
Thank you, thank you. I'm
You're
going,
pretty good
I'm
at spotting the gas deals, though, I have to say.
There's an app for that, of course. But I've figured it out. I know where all the cheap
What's
gas is.
What's the app where you can find cheap
gas?
Gas Buddy. Michelle and Miranda Lambert. She's a known supporter of pet adoption and rescue, too. Yeah, that's so nice. It's just a good way to be able to use your platform and
mm-hmm.
stuff. Patrick, why do you say Bob is so smart? I find him quite the idiot. No, he's smart politically.
I think he's
socially
politically awkward
savvy.
Politically, I don't even know about that, but he's book smart. I would say he's book smart, maybe.
He's definitely book smart. But he knows how to pull strings.
I mean, he's got to where he is, right? He's worked his way up.
Oh, 100%.
Very strategically.
Yeah. E says, no surprise they're turning on him. He's vicious and a psychopath, especially behind the scenes. I wouldn't be surprised if he was with Epstein. Oh, God. Okay. And then a few of you were saying there was an issue with watching the show on Patreon today. I'll look into it. It doesn't seem like it's something we usually encounter. So maybe it was a user error. And by user, I mean me. So let me know if it happens again tomorrow. All right. Good comments per the usual. Nicole, thank you. And with that, we'll get to our closing sanity check. So, of course, the White House was threatening to defund all of these universities and has been making deals with them so they can get their federal funding back. One of those deals is with Brown University. They struck a deal with the Trump administration to restore about $500 million in funding in exchange for a few concessions. And with Brown University, some of those concessions had to do with radical gender ideology. So, for instance, Brown University has now officially adopted the Trump administration's definitions of male and female, and they agreed that in their medical centers, they will not perform gender-affirming surgeries on minors. So none of the gender surgeries on minors. They agreed to that, which is a huge win. They can get their money back. Caroline Leavitt, the White House's press secretary, was asked whether the Trump administration is going to try to get a similar agreement from other universities in exchange for returning federal funds.
Will eliminating these types of procedures be a priority for the Trump administration in negotiations with other universities?
I can tell you that ending the chemical castration of children in our country is a priority of this administration. We've talked to many of these universities about it, but the president has also taken very strong action to cut off the funding for any medical institution in this country that provides those barbaric procedures.
I love that. And I think that's a handy tool. So bring it to the universities in Washington State. If they're not going to end the gender mutilation of children on their own because it's the right thing to do, then take their money away unless they do it. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided and this week's episodes, which I think were particularly good this week. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Excellent episodes. Great job, Nicole. Great job, team. Great job, homies. We have don't play the show close yet. I sat down for our Sunday interview with a former Antifa member who used to think I was the enemy. And now he loves the show. It's a great interview. You're not going to want to miss it. And he's got green hair still, but that's okay. We accept him with open arms. So we'll have that interview coming up on Sundays with subscribers. If you have not become a subscriber already, please do so. We have a lot of fun on the Sunday show. Some good, thought-provoking, in-depth interviews. You can sign up at undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Just click on the banner that says support the show. And while you're there, don't delay. Check out our new merch drop. We got hats. We got totes. We got stickers. That'll trigger everyone you drive by on the interstate. UndividedPod.com. Subscribers, we will see you Sunday. The rest of you, we will see you Monday at noon.